Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are there, said praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Rise up as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Bible study. Thank you for your people, our leaders, our workers, our pastors, our members, and the invitees, and all who are joining us today. We're asking, Lord, that this study will enrich every life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we pray in times of trial and temptation, we'll stand faithful to you.
Amen.
We'll be true to you to the end in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the spirit that looks away from you, the spirit that backslides and the spirit that falls by the wayside, you take from away from every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Keep us true.
Amen.
Grant us grace to be true.
Amen.
Strength to be true.
Amen.
That we'll stand uncompromisingly all through to the end of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Expose the scriptures to everyone today.
Amen.
Expound the word to everyone.
Amen.
Enrich our lives too.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We're coming to John chapter 13. Last week we looked at John chapter 13 from verse 1 all through to verse 17. I just want to remind you that that was the time that Jesus washed the feet of his own disciples. He came to Peter and Peter said, Lord, what are you doing? You'll never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Then Peter said, wash me then, not just my feet only, but my hand and my head. And look at what Jesus said in John chapter 13 verse 10. And Jesus says unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And the last part of that sentence, and ye are clean, but not all. And ye are clean, but not all. That last part of the sentence, but not all, is going to be the concentration of the study tonight. It says in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He knew from the very beginning who will betray him. And because of that, he said, ye are not all clean. Now we come to verse 18. I speak not of you all. He's talking to his own disciples. And he's saying, you're clean. I've cleansed you. I've washed you. The word has done its cleansing work in your heart, in your life. That means they were born again. That means they were children of God. That means they were redeemed. That means they were different from the people of the world. But then it says, I speak not of you all. Now it says, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. It doesn't take you a long study to understand. It was talking about Judas Iscariot. And this subject of Judas Iscariot, which is revealed very deeply and extensively in what we're looking at today, is serious and solemn. Almost every church goer will know something about Judas Iscariot. Even those who don't go to any church, they are out there. They never enter any church building. They have not read too much of the Bible, but they know about Judas Iscariot. And it is recorded for us in Scripture. It's such a passage that we may not even want to study, but we are compelled to study this because it's part of Scripture. Why are we studying a spiritual like this? Number one, to remind us that hearing and taking heed are two different things. You can hear the word of God. Judas Iscariot heard the word of God and heard everything Jesus had to say. All the messages of Christ, all the doctrines of Christ, all the exhortations of Christ. He saw everything, he heard everything, and yet hearing alone did not solve his problem. Therefore, you can come to the Bible study, you can listen to everything that is being said. That doesn't guarantee salvation. You still have to take a step. Number two, privilege and saving grace are not the same. He had the privilege of being among the disciples of Christ. He had the privilege of being among recognized workers and leaders. In fact, he was even the bag carrier. He was a treasurer. But then, having a privilege and getting saved, having the grace of God, are two different things. Number three, closeness to the Savior and cleansing from sin are wide apart. He was close to Christ. He was close to the Savior. But then he had not been cleansed fully. If he was cleansed before, he had gone back into sin, into defilement, into evil. And so that we are very close. You are close to your local pastor. You are close to the central pastor. You are close to anyone. Daddy, daddy, daddy. That doesn't mean that you are all right in the spirit, because Judas Iscariot was close to the Savior, close to the Lord. He wasn't cleansed from sin. Number four, preaching is not a proof of purity. Do you know that Judas was a preacher? The Lord sent them out two by two. He preached you. He told other people to repent. He even healed the sick. And we're not told that there was any failure. He did it and appeared to have done it well. And yet, purity of heart, that was far from him. Which tells us then, it's wonderful to preach. We're commissioned to preach. We're called to preach. And we're sent for to preach. But preaching alone does not mean that we're ready for heaven. We must still have recognition of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it is not the preaching that saves us. It is not the testifying that saves us. It's not the ministry that saves us. It is as we look up to the Lord and we turn away from our sin and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a definite witness of the Spirit of God within us that we're born again, then we are saved. Number five, good enough before your fellow men, fellow members of the church, is not an evidence of grace, of salvation, of God's acceptance. You know, Judas was good enough to be their treasurer. Good enough to be a disciple. Good enough. In fact, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they never looked the direction of Judas's God, because he was just good enough. Maybe you're good enough before all the members of the church. Maybe you're good enough before your pastor. Maybe you're good enough before the members of your family. And you say, it's always been a nice person. It's a person you can trust. It's a person that you give that assignment to. Good enough in the sight of members of the church does not mean that you have any good relationship with the Lord. Number six, relationship with Christ is personal. Relationship with Christ is personal. He wants everyone to come. He invites everyone to come. And he invited Judas Iscariot, invited all the other disciples, and one by one, they turned away from their sins. One by one, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal. And because he did actually follow through on that personal contact with the Lord, that's why he became what he became. Number seven, recognition on earth is not necessarily an open door to heaven. Recognition on earth. How Judas was recognized on earth. His members of his own personal family will say, he's one of the 12. And then the people that looked at him will say, he's one of the 12. Everybody, even the other disciples, they thought he's one of us. Do you remember when John came to Jesus and he said, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, we forbade him because he followeth not us. They couldn't say that about Judas Iscariot, because they all recognized him and they all approved of him. He was part of them, But that does not open the door to heaven for him. And so as you come to our church, or you come to the Bible study, you must have that personal link with the Lord, personal connection with the Lord, so that your life will be what it ought to be. And I pray that that personal connection, that personal conversion, you will manifest it in Jesus' name. Actually, it just comes now to the final thing that Jesus said in the last study. Look at chapter 13 of John, and I'm reading from verse 17. It says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye, tell me, do them. If ye know these things, Judas Iscariot, do you know these things? Of course I do. You see, Judas Iscariot, he knew all the messages. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard about repentance. He heard about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He heard about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He heard that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not taste the kingdom of God. You will not come to the kingdom of God. He heard it all. If ye know, that's the first part, happy are you, blessed are you, sure are you that you are going to heaven if you do these things. Look at Matthew chapter 7. The important thing in the sight of the Lord is to do. Have you heard about repentance? If you know about that, do it. Have you heard about restitution? If you have heard about that, do it. Have you heard about believing on the Lord Jesus? If you have heard about that, do it. It's the doing that is actually the mark that will belong to the Lord. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 7, and I'm looking at it from verse 17. In verse 17 it says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, is cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore ye shall know them by their fruits. It's saying, it's not enough to say, I'm saved, we'll know you by your fruits. I'm born again, we'll know you by your fruits. I'm one of them, we'll know you by your fruits. I'm a member of the church, I'm a member of Christ, and I'm on my way to heaven. That's not enough. We'll know them by their fruits. Verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, tell me, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's to do. I pray God will make you a doer. I said God will make you a doer. Look at verse 22, this surprising. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name I've done many wonderful works. That's not enough, my friend. I prophesy, that's not enough. I see vision, that's not enough. I speak in tongues, that's not enough. I work miracles, that's not enough. I can heal the sick, that's not enough. Look at this, verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We're looking at Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not? That's a little word there, to do. That's the secret, to do. That's the evidence, to do. That's the mark that we're children of God. If a person is like Judas Iscariot, he can, you know, talk about history, can talk about scripture, can talk about Jesus, can say, I was there, he walked on the sea, he can tell stories and even try to illustrate his sermons. It's to do. If you don't have the grace to do, you might just be a junior brother to Judas Iscariot. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, look at verse 47, whosoever, anybody, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48, is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from your wounded side will flow be of sin, the double kill, salvation and sanctification. Because you are built upon the rock of ages, and you are doing the word, and you are obeying the word, and you are keeping the word of God, and you are righteous by the grace of God. On the other hand, the people that hear, like Judas, and hear, and hear, and hear, and he never do. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not, he that heareth and doeth not, no repentance, doeth not, no righteousness, doeth not, no obedience to the word of God, doeth not. Just a kind of a religious fellow. He's always there. As for hearing and hearing and hearing, he's hearing, but he doeth not. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately, what happened? It fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It's telling us that the secret of actually belonging to the Lord, of saying that we're disciples of Christ and we're members of his church, members of his body, is that we do the word of the Lord, keep the word of the Lord, be obedient to the word of the Lord. John chapter 15. And we're reading from verse 14. John chapter 15, verse 14. It says, ye are my friends if ye do. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever. On the line, that word, whatsoever. Whatsoever is not picking and choosing. I obey this one, I don't want to worry about that. I go along with this, I don't want to think about the other side. Whatsoever, everything he has commanded, everything he has put in place, everything he has written for us, if you have the grace and you live in the grace of obedience, that's the evidence that you're children of God. But if you are just, you know, haphazard, and you meet this one, that's a sin of omission. I don't want to think about this. No, you need to think about everything. It says in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I pray you'll be a doer in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 4. Verse 17, James chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 17. In James chapter 4, verse 17, the word of God assures us, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, tell me, to him it is sin. It was thinking about Judas Iscariot. He knew the good to do. The Lord has called you. Not to kill him, not to slay him, not to betray him, to protect him, to love him, see what he has done, and see what he has given to you. And he calls you along so that you can be his friend, love him. But he knew the right thing to do, but no, he wasn't going to do the right thing. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, reading from verse 14. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do. Till the end of the Bible, it's telling us the blessing of getting to heaven and the blessing of keeping a relationship with the Lord is to do the will of God, to obey the word of God. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter. That's how to get to heaven. And may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15. But without are dogs outside. Dogs, sorcerers, they're outside. All mongers, adulterers, they're outside. Fleshly motivated people in defilement, they're outside. Murderers, they're outside. Idolaters, they're all outside. And tell me the rest there. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, he says, they're all outside. I pray you'll not be outside the kingdom. We're coming back to John chapter 13. And we're looking at the passage of scripture we're considering today. Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 18. It says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me as lifted up is heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. I pray that will not be you. Verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then he lying on Jesus' breast says unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give his soul when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the soul, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the soul, Satan entered into him. I pray Satan will not enter into you. Amen. Then said Jesus to him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas at the back, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. He went into the dark. You will not go into the dark. Yeah. Those are the verses we are studying today, and the topic is the exposure and the perdition of the betrayer. The exposure and the perdition of the betrayer. We're dividing the message to three parts. Number one, the portrait of a hard-hearted betrayer. The portrait of a hard-hearted betrayer. Number two, the perversion of a heedless backslider. Heedless. The Lord warned him, he didn't take heed. The Lord told him the consequence of what was going to happen, or the consequence of what he was going to do, but he will not take any heed. The perversion of a heedless backslider. Number three, the perdition of a hell-bound beast. The perdition of a hell-bound beast. It's like he was hell-bent and hell-bound. And instead of having the heart of a man, Yeah, the heart of a beast. We're coming to number one, the portrait of a hard-hearted betrayer. He made himself the betrayer. It wasn't forced on him. And this was a calamity in his life, a tragedy in his life, that he will open his eyes and walk straight into hell. We're coming back to John chapter 13, reading from verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. It had been prophesied in the Old Testament that somebody will do it. But it attached his name there. And I pray that your name will not be attached to a negative prophecy. Amen. Look at Psalm 41 verse 9. Psalm 41 verse 9. And you'll see what the scripture had said. Somebody is coming. That when the Messiah arrives, he will do this that Judas Iscariot did. Psalm 41 verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Exactly what happened. Because you see, they were at the meal, and he sat down to eat. And Jesus said, one of you here, eating with me, dining with me, is going to betray me. And that this friend, so-called friend, and this follower, so-called follower, is going to raise his heel against me. Psalm 55, what was written concerning the betrayer who was to come. In Psalm 55, verse 12. 55 verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. This is not a Pharisee now. And this is not a Sadducee. This is not an outside sinner. This is an insider. Judas Iscariot. He knew everywhere Jesus went. And that knowledge, he turned to a dagger to kill, to destroy. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But, verse 13, it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel, communion together, and walked unto the house of God in company. It says, let death cease upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. Where did Judas Iscariot go? And then it says, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. That's what Judas Iscariot did, and that's what he was. I pray you will not be like that. Let's look at the action and the act in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. What he did, which you will not do. Mark chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest. Didn't look for him. Didn't know that he wanted to do that. He himself voluntarily, personally, by his own decision, his own volition, he went to them to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and they promised to give him money. They said, are you really sure you will do it? Are you sure you will not change your mind? Are you sure you are going to betray your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah? You are going to betray him to us? He said, you can trust me. You can depend on me. I'm going to be faithful to you more than I'm going to be faithful to him. I've been with him all these 3 years. He even gave me chance to carry the bag, but I'm telling you that now that I promised you I'm going to betray him to you, I'm going to be faithful to you. I pray you'll not be faithful to Satan. Yeah. You'll not be faithful to the enemies of Christ. Yeah. You'll be faithful to Christ. You'll be faithful to the Lord and faithful to the word of God in Jesus' name. The latter part of verse 11, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Why are we studying about this? Judas Iscariot is gone. And the Judas Iscariot is no more here today to betray anyone, because betrayal still continues. After Judas Iscariot did what he did, he has passed the spirit of betrayal into some people. Look at even in the Old Testament, we're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 17. Here was David. He had to be asking the people, why have you come? Have you come to help me? Have you come to betray me? Have you come to hinder me? Have you come to lift me up? Have you come to assist me? Or have you come to be an adversary unto me? That's what betrayers do. And it's not only Judas Iscariot, but many people are still acting like Judas Iscariot. This spirit of Judas Iscariot, I pray the Lord will cast it out of everyone in Jesus' name. Yeah. You'll be a friend, you'll not be an enemy. Yeah. You'll be a helper, you'll not be an hinderer. You'll be assisting, and you are not going to hinder the work of God in Jesus' name. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 17, and David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, if ye become peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you. And that's the same thing we can say today. That's the same thing every leader can say today, every pastor can say today. That's the same thing I can say today. If you have come to help, welcome. If you have come to assist, welcome. If your ministry, if your contribution is here to expand the word of God, welcome. If your ministry is to assist us and make us get further to where we have not gone to, welcome. If your area of work is going to be used in a positive way and you are going to move the work of God forward, welcome. But look at the next part there. But if you become to betray me to my enemies, he said, but if you are come, you have come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. I thought you'd say amen over there. Look at this now. Look at how this man came. We're looking at Luke chapter 22, verse 47. Luke chapter 22. I'm reading from verse 47. It says in verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to do what? I said to do what? To kiss him. What a kiss. What love. What a friend. What a follower. What a disciple. He came to kiss him. That's what David was saying. You're kissing him. Have you come to help? Have you come to protect? Have you come to show love? Look at verse 48. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? What are you doing? You are betraying the Son of Man with a kiss. And there are people like that today. They smile. You are hurting a man with your smile. You want to hinder somebody with your smile. You want to destroy with your smile. A smile is reserved for love and for friendship and for help and for togetherness and for unity and for concord. But you are using a smile to betray and to destroy. Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? In the last days, and these are the last days we're living now, you'll find betrayal will still continue. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me read from verse 1 now. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves. For men shall be. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of themselves, their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. You know what the scripture calls this Judas Iscariot in the Gospels? It calls him a traitor. That is, somebody who betrays another one. I pray that that will not be yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Coming back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're looking at it now from verse 19. It says, now, I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Everything Jesus said about Judas Iscariot was fulfilled. That's why I said, I told you before, one of you, although it appears unbelievable, it appears it can never happen, but really, it happened. It will not happen through you.
Yeah.
He said, I've told you so that when it comes to pass, you'll know that this is it. But look at verse 20 now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He was talking to his own disciples. He said, let's even forget about Judas Iscariot now. We'll talk about him later. But you know, I'm going to send whomsoever I want, whomsoever I will unto you. And don't you think, well, he's gone, this one? Who sent this one? Where are you coming from? Are you the one to talk to us? Are you the one to preach to us? Are you the one to lead us? Get out of that place. We're waiting for Jesus. You say, nobody can do that. Yes, people do that. In the Corinthian church, they said, I'm of Paul. If Paul comes, talks to us, I'm going to answer. But Apollos, where are you coming from? Cephas, where are you coming from? Other people said, Paul, forget him. Apollos, forget him. Cephas, forget him. I am of Christ. Only when Christ comes himself, I will listen. Look at that verse 20 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth, tell me the next word there, whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And then he says, he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You know, there are people in the church today, they make their own choice. Oh, that person is not from our tribe. And the Lord has sent him to be the pastor, to be the leader. We reject him. And then sometimes somebody is leading the, you know, the meeting, and I will say, who is that? I'm not familiar with that voice. Whose voice is that? So that's the one that is going to lead us today. Forget about that. Although you are claiming you are not Judas Iscariot, you're still following after the line of Judas Iscariot because you reject him whom the Lord has sent. And he says, if you receive whomsoever, whatever the name, whatever the tribe, whatever the situation, and whatever his position, he says, you receive me. But if you reject him, you reject me. We're looking at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 16. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. You know, sometimes it's even the pastor that comes, and you know, sometimes I come after the Sunday scripture and I say, if you have any question there, you can write sub U section, where are you? An adult section, where are you? And a campus there, where are you? And then, you know, maybe the U section, they feel, why is he taking the place of a local teacher here? Keep to your own adult church. And nobody is coming up there. They despise the one that the Lord has sent. That should handle the question and answer that day. Or maybe I come to the women's section, and then they're looking at me as, what happened today? It is a strange face. They know my face, but this is women ministry. And I come today and I see I'm the one taking care of the women fellowship today. And they're wondering what's happening today, as our women leader committed something, you know, that there is an indirect discipline. Wait, the Lord has sent me. And when people don't realize that, they turn the church to a tribal church, a sectional church. Only this person can talk to us. Only that person can talk to us. Jesus said in that verse 16, he that heareth you heareth me. I pray God will help us to correct this situation. I said God will help us to correct this situation. So that we're not dividing the church to this section, that section, that section, and then we don't have liberty again to come to you and talk to you when the Lord has sent us. I pray this church will be a Bible church. He that despiseth you despiseth me. You know, sometimes you can even frustrate a new pastor out of the place, and you know, he's writing to us saying, I cannot continue, I cannot you know, handle this, give it to other people that they will accept. If you disregard and reject the man that God has sent, the pastor that God has sent, you are rejecting Christ. And if you reject Christ, you reject the Savior, you reject salvation, and you reject the will of God. And if you die in that condition, what happens? That will be hellfire. And then it says, he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're reading here from verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. That any kind of attitude that despises the man of God that God has sent in your local church, in your group church, or in the central church, that person has to be the person there now. But I reject that. I don't want that. You are rejecting God. The betrayer hardened his heart against Christ, against his love, against his appeal, against his warning, against his goodness, against his messiahship. Judas Iscariot had in his heart, against the deity of Christ, against the grace of God, and against the truth of God. He and every other betrayer had in their hearts against their own salvation and security. Anyone that is hiding against the Savior is hiding against his blessing and benefits, is hiding against the privilege of partnership with the Lord, and to their own destruction and doom and eternal damnation. Beware, think, wake up, so that what happened to Judas Iscariot will not happen to you in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two now, the perversion of a heedless backslider. The perversion of a heedless backslider. John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 21. John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Unbelievable, but it happened. Unthinkable, unimaginable, but it happened. That one of the 12, the closest to the Lord Jesus Christ will betray him. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning upon Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, and that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, says unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. You will not receive such a sop. But as we look at Judas Iscariot, we need to go back a little bit and look at his history. We're looking at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 4. In John chapter 12, verse 4, then says one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which shall betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Look at this, verse 6. This is said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was, tell me, a disciple, a thief, an apostle, a thief, a leader, a thief, one of the 12, a thief, a worker, but a thief. It says he was a thief, and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. He used to steal, and Jesus knew, but what was stealing was not enough for him. What was his problem? Love of money. Love of money. Covetousness. And that's very dangerous for anyone. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's why this section is a perdition of a heedless backslider. He loved money more than he loved Christ. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, is the root of dishonesty, is the root of fraud. Love of money is the root of betrayal, is the root of fighting, is the root of conflict, is the root of separation from the church. I want to go and establish my own church, so that if I have all the, even if I have 100 members, then I'll be able to collect all the tithes and offering. It's the love of money that's the root of everything. Love of money, the root of division between husband and wife. How is the money going? How is the money coming? And all that. Love of money will divide your family. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Covetousness. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I pray this will not be your problem. Amen. Can I hear a good amen there? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm looking at verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Money. Terrible thing. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Judas Iscariot, he loved so much money, so much silver. He'd been taking from the bag, stealing from the bag. But what he was stealing from the bag was not enough. He must sell the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master, the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so that he can have more money. If you are like that, you'll not be satisfied. A bulging bank account. I need money there, money there. Build the house there, build the house there. and get something there, get something there. It says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, or he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. We're looking at Psalm 52, Psalm 52. We're reading from verse 7, Psalm 52. We're reading from verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. Judas Iscariot, this is the man. He made not Christ his strength. He made not Christ his focus. He made not Christ his object of worship. He must worship money. He wanted money, money, money at all costs. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches. That was the problem with Judas Iscariot. I pray it will not be your problem. And strengthened themselves in his wickedness. But look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17. Reading from verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Look at verse 11. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and asheth them not, so he that getteth riches, think about Judas Iscariot now, he wanted money, he was pilfering, he was stealing, he was taking what was in the bag, and now he must sell Jesus and get more wealth by betraying Jesus to be crucified. What wickedness. He says, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall what? Leave them when? In the middle of his days, and what will happen? At his end shall be a fool. Think about Judas Iscariot. He got the riches, 30 pieces of silver. Judas, is that all you're going to get? What's the end of that? At the end, he became like a fool, because before the end of his life, he left everything and he went to the other side. Oh, I pray that that will not happen to you. We're coming to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, reading from verse 31. Ezekiel 33, reading from verse 31. Here it tells us, they come unto thee as the people cometh. It's talking about those who come for worship, those who come for Bible study, those who come for revival, those who come for worship. It says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they siege before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Look up here. This may be talking about you. We come to Bible study. We hear the word of God. We never miss any session of hearing the word of God. But there's something in the heart. And it is that thing you love more than Christ that will take the effect of the word away from you. And even while you are hearing the word of God, maybe your mind is going here, your mind is going here, your mind is going there. Look at it, what it says. Now look at your Bible. It says, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after what? Their covetousness. You see, whatever you love more than Christ will distract your attention. Whatever you love more than Christ will hold your attention. Whatever you love more than Christ will be the thing that pins you down, and the word of God will not take effect in your life. Look at verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but tell me out aloud. They do them not. They do them not. You need to ask yourself, why have you come? And what are you doing in the house of God? This man was a backslider. Judas was a backslider. Is that right? I said Judas was a backslider. Is that right? Proverbs chapter 14. We're reading from verse 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And we're reading from verse 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart, if you find that while the word of God is going on, what you thought of before you came is still what fills your heart. The money you're looking for, that's what fills your heart. And this and that, that you love above Christ, is what fills your heart. That's the state of a backslider. That's the life of a backslider. And I pray that that kind of life, the Lord will take away from us in Jesus' name. Amen. Money was a peculiar problem of Judas Iscariot. He loved money more than he loved Christ. He loved money more than he loved God. He loved money more than he loved his own eternal destiny. He loved money more than eternal life, more than heaven. This controlling love of money made him deaf to Christ's warning. Christ warned him, a man is going to betray me. It were better that man were not born. But the warning went through deaf ears because of the love of money. It made him blind to Christ's sorrow. Christ said, I am troubled. I am sorrowful. Because one of you will betray me. But he was blinded to the sorrow of the Lord and to the agony of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the love of money. It made him thoughtless of his own eternal future. He was heedless, a heedless backslider. And whatever anyone loves more than Christ will blindfold you, will deaden your conscience, will dim and distort your vision of reality and of eternity, and doom and damn your soul at last. Now, we've been talking about Judas Iscariot. I say, thank God that's not my problem. I don't love money more than Christ. I don't love any material thing more than Christ. Let's think about that. It's not only the love of money. Number one is the love of money. Number two is the love of the world. The love of the world. There are people that love the world more than they love Christ. They love the world, the politics in the world, more than they love Christ. And it says if the love of the world is occupying your heart, has seized your heart, you don't have any part with the Lord. First John chapter 2, we're reading from verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're looking at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you find that, you know, some things in the world, some celebrations in the world, some traditions in the world, they hold your mind. I would have done this. I would have come to fellowship today. I would have come to Sunday worship today. But, you know, this, our tribal, traditional ceremony is holding. I must be there. You are a friend of the world. And that thing is holding you away from the Lord. Until you tear yourself away from that thing, you'll be like Judas Iscariot. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's a problem with some people, having loved this present world. Other people, they just love self. Anything concerning self, they patch themselves
And he's sick, I cannot go out today because, you know, my body is feeling some kind. You see, because of that love of self, they love self more than they love God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That hinders some people. They cannot go all the way through. They cannot sacrifice. They cannot consecrate themselves. They cannot commit themselves to anything. They love self more than love Christ. Other people, they love pleasures. We're talking of money, only for Judas Iscariot. Other people is pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They must be in that nightclub. They must be in that theater. They must paint up. They must appear like Jezebel in the world. And they must be, you know, in this ceremony, their master ceremony there. And they abandon the work of God. They abandon the worship of God because they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It says in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What does it say? From such, turn away. Don't give them any responsibility. They say, I'll come, reserve the responsibility for me, reserve the church service for me, and reserve the opportunity for me. We're not going to reserve it for you because you're not proving that you're a real child of God. You love pleasures more than you love God. And it says, from such, turn away. I pray that you repent before it's too late in Jesus' name. Other people is just the love of praise. Love of praise. They want a praise at all cost. They want sinners to praise them. They want backsliders to praise them. They want those who have gone astray to praise them. They want religious people to praise them. Praise of men. More than the praise of God. We're looking at John chapter 12, and I'm reading here from verse 43. John chapter 12, verse 43. For the loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Other people, they just love their relations. You know, daddy and mommy or children or just relations that they love. And that one occupies their heart more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they say, is that wrong? Well, your father has not died for you to save you, to take you to heaven. Mommy has not died for you to save your soul and take you to heaven. Look at what Jesus Christ has done. He died on the cross of Calvary. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Just because of you. And if you will love, anything, anyone more than Jesus Christ, he says you are not worthy of him. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You can't take a decision. You can't follow the Lord. You can't consecrate yourself. You can't repent. And you can't do what is right until mommy goes, mommy gives a go ahead. Until daddy gives a go ahead. You love daddy, you love mommy more than you love Christ. Other people as children, look at this second part of that. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If you not allow my child to do that in the church, what am I doing in that church? Okay, I cannot stay in that church again because they don't give the honor to my daughter. They don't give the honor to my son. My son wanted to get married and he said, you cannot wear this. Daughter wanted to get married. You cannot wear this. If they won't allow my daughter to do whatever she wants, I'm not going to be in that church again. You love your daughter more than you love Christ. You're not worthy of Christ. If you die in that condition, you can't say you are saved because Jesus said it very clearly. You love father, you love mother more than Christ, not a Christian. You love son, you love daughter more than Christ, not a Christian. We're looking at John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you love anything on earth more than Christ, that's just like Judas Iscariot. His own happened to be money and your own happens to be another thing. John chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 15. So when they are dying, Jesus says unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says unto him, yea, Lord, you have to love him more than these things. The fish, the work, the trade, the title, the position, whatever it is. He says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. Look at verse 16. He says unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my sheep. He said to him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I pray there will be nothing in this life, nothing in this world you'll exalt above Christ in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said a good amen.
Amen.
We come to point number three. We're coming to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 27. In John chapter 13, verse 27, and after the sword, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. Look up here for a moment. You know, this Judas Iscariot, he so played his card and played his game. He kept the respect of all the other 11 disciples. None of them could counsel him. None of them could talk to him and say, what this Jesus is saying about you? Even though he was in the midst of the others, he isolated himself. And there are some people like that. The way they keep themselves, you can't get to them. And you know that things are wrong, but you can't talk to them. You're wondering, there's something wrong somewhere about this person. But the way they carry themselves, obviously, woman, the way she carries herself, she'll be doing all those things, and nobody of the children of God or the people of God can talk to them. And when you're like that, you're sealing your own doom, you're sealing your own damnation, because you're such a person that nobody can talk to you. Look at verse 28. That now no man at the table knew for what intent he said he spake this unto him. Can you imagine that? It was unthinkable for them. Jesus said, the person I'm going to give the sup now, that's the person that is going to betray me. And then he put the food in the sup and then gave it to him. Even with all that, they couldn't tell that this was the person that was going to betray. The question is, are you like that? You're so overprotective of yourself. And the things you do, even the people that know, they cannot talk to you. Most of the people do not know. They think you're a Christian. They think you're innocent. They think you're a child of God. And they think that you're on your way to heaven because you cover up so much. And the people at the table did not know that anything was happening in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Now, where is the place for fellowship? Where is the place for being open to each other? Where is the place for, you helping me and I helping you? Where is the place for being a brother's keeper? Where is the place for being a sister's keeper? When you are so kind of protected and you are so preserved that nobody can talk to you, even if they knew what you are going through. I pray things will change.
Yeah.
I said, I pray things will change.
Yeah.
You know, if you put up that kind of attitude, and you build a wall around yourself, that you become a Judas Iscariot, but you're unapproachable. I pray God will help you.
Amen.
Look at verse 29. For some of them thought, because Judas at the back, that Jesus had said unto him, by those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, after he received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Did he change his mind? I said, did he change his mind? You know, some people are like that. They say, once I want to do something, I do it. That may spell hell for you. That may mean that you're irredeemable. That may mean that your conscience is so hardened that even though the Lord is speaking to you in the midst of all the others, yet you're still who you are. Satan are taking over that man's life. Satan will not take over your life. Luke chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 3. Luke chapter 22, verse 3. It says, then entered Satan into Judas, so named Iscariot, being of the number of 12. Look at Mark chapter 4. This is what happens normally to people like that, influenced by Satan, blinded by Satan, deadened by Satan, bundled into a bag by Satan. And when the watch of their salvation comes, no, they will not give it, because Satan is working on them. Satan will not work on you.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's what happened to Judas Iscariot. All this while he was following after Jesus, hearing the words of Jesus, hearing the messages of Jesus, immediately he heard, Satan came and took it away. He didn't remember anything. He was not conscious of anything. Everything he heard did not have any effect on him. And there are people like that. They hear the word. After hearing the word, immediately Satan comes and takes the word away. What did the Old Testament say about the person that will betray Jesus? Look at Psalm. We're looking at the Psalms. Psalm 109. Psalm 109. I'm reading from verse 6. Psalm 109. We're reading from verse 6. Look at it. It says, set a wicked man over him. Let Satan stand at his right hand. And it's a prophecy concerning the betrayer, the one that will betray the Messiah. It says, let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. And let his prayer become sin. Look at verse 8. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. And in these last days, there are people like that, that Satan influences, that Satan takes the word of God away, that Satan stands by them, by their side, while they are hearing the word of God. You have to reject Satan by yourself, and you have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I want to get saved. I want to get sanctified. I want to get into the word. I want to listen to the word. I want the word to change my life. I want to get to heaven. You have to make up your mind by yourself. Otherwise, Satan is by the corner. But thank God, he will not get me. I said, as for me, he will not get me. The word of God will bear fruit in my life. And I'm not going to surrender my soul, my destiny, into the hands of Satan. You didn't get that one. I will not surrender my soul into the hands of Satan. If you have forgotten why you come to the Bible study, to learn. If you have forgotten all you came to the Bible study, to repent. Lord, show me your way and show me my life and show me whatever will hinder me from getting to heaven so that I can correct and take everything away. If you have forgotten that, Satan will be at the corner, and then whatever it is you are hearing, it takes everything away, and by the time we see you during the week, we cannot see any evidence that you heard the word of God. Your life will change.
Amen.
I said your life will change.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading here from verse 9. Even him who's walking, who's coming, is after the walking of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. In them that perish. If Satan is, taking the word of God away from you, you can't remember what you're learning, you can't pray on what you're learning, your mind is not on what you're learning, be careful, beware, because he does that to them who are going to perish. He says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love for the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In unrighteousness. You know, this third point is the perdition of the hell-bound beast. What will you refer to a person, a man, as a beast? We're looking at Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. We're reading from verses 20 and 21. Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and he took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. Look at this. And his heart was made like the beasts. That's Nebuchadnezzar. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over each whomsoever he will. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord granted him a heart of repentance. And anyone here today, heart of repentance the Lord will give to everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the case of Judas Iscariot, after so many warnings, so many exhortations, after so many things that Jesus said, let's look at his end. I pray this will not be your end.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he regretted. That's the word there. He repented himself. That is, he had remorse. He regretted. Why did I do that? But not real repentance. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders, saying, I have sinned. Confessing your sin to the Pharisees, that's not enough. Must confess your sin to God and turn away from there and say, Lord, I need salvation, and be willing to do whatever Christ wants you to do before forgiveness can come. But he came to the chief priest, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And he said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed and went. He departed and went. He departed and went and hanged himself. If the joy of restoration was there, he'll not go and hang himself. If the joy of salvation was there, he'll not go and hang himself. If the joy of peace with God is there, he'll not go and hang himself. He went, he hanged himself. The grace of God is yours today. The forgiveness of God is yours today. But the Lord is saying, tell Satan, get thee behind me. I don't have anything to do with you. I'm going to serve the Lord, and you will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Are you there?
Yes.
What is he there? You'll serve the Lord?
Yes.
I will serve the Lord?
Yes.
We'll serve the Lord together in Jesus' name. Rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Remember everything we've learned. Don't let Satan take this away from your heart. Don't let Satan take this away from your brain. Don't let Satan take this away from your mind. You've heard the word of God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And anyway you need to repent, you repent. If you are despising the messengers of God, we don't want this, we don't want this, and you're taking the church into a kind of political realm, democracy and voting and, you know, talking about this and talking about that and wanting to divide the church, repent. Repent. The Lord is calling upon everyone today. Don't have the mind of Judas, the heart of Judas, the attitude of Judas Iscariot. He wants you to call upon him, and whosoever shall call upon the Lord with genuine and true repentance will be saved. He wants you to call upon him. Let there be transformation. Let there be a change. And then there will be restoration. Then the Lord will forgive. And whatever it is, to love more than Christ. Money. Bring it under your feet. Pleasures. Bring that under your feet. The world. Bring that under your feet. Self. Bring that under your feet. And love God above everything, anything on earth. Say, Lord, I give myself unreservedly unto you.